Welcome to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute, divisions of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here, encouraging you with inspirational stories to share with family and friends. Welcome to The Good Life. What happens when God imparts a level of rare brilliance on a boy who grew up on an island in the middle of the Pacific? What did he experience in middle school that altered his life? A life as one also gifted with unusual athletic and musical abilities. This is the story of Dr. Scott Tan, an American engineer and artist, a man who, according to Psalm 105, verse 2, speaks of the Lord's wondrous works. We pause to remind you at the beginning of our program, as we typically do, the reason we have the Good Life Show is to share how the love of Jesus makes a difference in the lives of people. I'm talking about the love of Jesus so strong that he died on the cross for your sins. He was buried, yes. He rose again on the third day, offering God's hope. God's hope as seen in the life of Dr. Scott Tan. And it's our prayer and our hope in your life as well. Turn to Christ. That's our encouragement. Turn to the love of God. That's our encouragement. Dr. Scott Tan is the data scientist for Gotham Greens. In 2019, he was selected as a member of Forbes 30 Under 30 in science. Scott earned his PhD in mechanical engineering at Massachusetts Institute of Technology, where he also acquired his Master of Science degree. He completed his bachelor's at Pomona College, including a year doing research at Lady Margaret Hall, Oxford. Scott is a worship leader at Life Community Church. He is a husband and father of two children. Scott, welcome to our show.
Dr. Danny Yamashiro, it is so good to be here. And glory to God. Thank you so much for such a kind introduction. And so happy to be here on your podcast, on your show here.
I've been looking forward for this, Scott. I mentioned the island in the Pacific. Tell us more. Where did you grow up?
Yeah, so I grew up, I tell people who know the island of Oahu that I grew up on in Kaneohe, because that's where I spent most of my childhood. So I grew up in the valley of Kaneohe, and when I was around 13 years old, I moved to the city, to Aleva Heights, and I lived in Honolulu until I went out to college in the mainland in California.
So what was it like growing up? People here in New England, or on the mainland, as we say, what's it like is the question. Growing up living in Hawaii, living in paradise.
You know, right? I think growing up on Oahu, Oahu is a city, right? And there's lots of the same sort of city and American culture in the city, right? And I think growing up in Kaneohe and having the parents that I had, my dad was a football coach for the high school from when I was born. So our family was very sports centered. That was almost like our religion, right? We really held athletes in very high regard, right, on the island, and would go to all the sports games, right? And when people asked what I wanted to grow up, it was either a professional basketball player or a professional football player. Now I still have those aspirations, but but I'm a little bit more realistic about my expectations for my physical body.
You mentioned your father. Yeah. Broadly speaking, who influenced you most in your growing up years?
Oh, in my growing up years, yeah. I think my parents just had a huge influence on me growing up, and just seeing them just in their walk with Christ, through the years has just been amazing to witness and to see them witness about Jesus and the love that God has for them and for our world. And it just speaks their lives are a living testimony of what God does, just bringing them through so many different trials and being their son, seeing firsthand, right, the different things that they've gone through in their marriage and in their lives. And constantly just orienting more and more towards Jesus, right? Not being perfect, of course, but just trying their best to do so. And more so over time has just been amazing to witness and a blessing to have them as parents.
You speak of Jesus with such a tenderness, Scott. And you speak of your parents and your family with such deep affection. How did you become a Christian?
So, growing up, we were Christians by affiliation. We went to, you know, Easter service and Christmas service, but we weren't. I wouldn't say we were following Jesus. And I think my parents would also say, you know, there were times in our lives where we were going to church more often, but for the most part, we weren't really in the church. We weren't really fellowshipping with other believers and having that community and that relationship with God through the Son. So when I was in middle school one day, I was in seventh grade, and for lunch we had a setup that was called Big Brother, Big Sister. So I was in seventh grade and I had a big brother in 11th grade. You might know him. His name is Christiania. He's now a pastor of a church in the islands. Anyway, Christiania, high school junior at the time, he's my big brother, and he says, "Hey, Scott, I'm in charge of you for lunch today, and we're going to this club. It's called FCA. It's called the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. There's free food. There's free food, so we're going to go, and this is where we're going to eat our big brother, big sister lunch." So we go to the gym, to the basketball courts. There are lots of upper-class athletes who are at the doorway giving high fives. There's a table of food and parents lined up along the wall of the gym who have graciously provided this food for people like me who were looking for free food. So at the time, I wandered into the gym, sat down with Chris, my big brother, and Pastor TJ Gorham walked up and said the gospel, preached the gospel, preached the word of God, and at the end of the message, he gave a call for salvation and said, "Hey, if you have not yet put your faith in Jesus, if you've not yet, you know, really trusted Him as Lord and Savior of your life, then here's the opportunity to do so. Just raise your hand and look at me." And I raised my hand that moment, looked him in the eyes, gave him a nod, and from there I got baptized. That was just the beginning of my walk with Christ. It's definitely been ups and downs, and a continual, tension with my flesh and with my own desire to seek after selfish things and the vanity and striving after the wind that comes with this life.
Let's go a little further on that, Scott. In what ways have your faith influenced your perspective on life?
That's a great question. I think about my faith, right? And faith for me, faith in Jesus, right? It's really been shaped by people who have spoken the gospel, spoken the word of God into my life, and encouraged me along the way, right? And have helped me to, or encouraged me, right, to be in Scripture, to spend time with God, to be with other believers, right, and to, I think for personal faith too. I think there have been times in my life where, you know, I really struggled with, okay, so is God real, right? That's a question I think a lot of listeners might also be wondering, right? And a lot of people every day, right? Is God real, and what is the evidence for Christ, right? And I think that being something that we continuously seek after, and that being belief rooted in the gospel and in what Jesus has already accomplished on the cross, and being able to see on the other side, or see after he's already accomplished what is finished, I think is just an amazing part of history to be alive in today, that we get to share the testimony of someone who is already victorious by his blood.
Have you experienced anything that took you deeper? And I'm thinking about maybe an incident with a young lady who was going to become your wife, who is now your wife. But something happened early on when you were younger.
Yeah.
In an encounter with her.
Yeah. So I was. So this was a couple years after I had been baptized. So I was just getting to read my Bible, right? But still, I would say, still had myself on a pedestal and was, you know, just not really, you know, as even today, right? Even today, I'm still working to be more like Christ. But at the time, right, I was just in a place where there was just darkness, and I was questioning lots of things, and I was seeking after, really, you know, my own personal selfish pleasures and things of this world that are not of Christ, right? Things that can separate me from the love of God. So at the time, I was getting to know this girl who was in my poetry class. Her name was Ashley Yee. And she was a believer she was a Christian, and she was 1 year older than me in high school, she invited me to hang out with her and her family. So I got to know her parents and her nana closely over the course of maybe about 2 months. So one day we were just at Ashley's nana's house, and I got a really, really terrible fever. I checked my temperature and it was 102.3. I was feeling awful. I had a really bad stomach ache. I said, oh, I must have eaten something really terrible, or gotten a bug from something. But I feel really terrible. And that night we were going to go out to bowl with some friends. But I said, hey, I'm sorry, Ashley. I really wanted to hang out today, but I gotta go home because I feel sick. And Ashley took a step of faith that night, and she said, "Hey, can I pray for you?" And I said, "Yeah, sure." Right? I was seeking Christ, but didn't really believe, right, that God could really intervene in miraculous ways. So I was like, "Yeah, sure, you can pray for me, right? I don't think this will really change much, but go ahead, right?" And so I remember that night sitting in the car, just feeling completely awful, about to go home, and Ashley said a prayer. I don't know her exact words, but she gave God glory, and she prayed that I'd be healed from my sickness that night, and I instantly felt better. And it was one of those moments where I was like, okay, God, I cannot deny what you are doing here and that your presence is here, and that you want me to pursue a relationship with you, and that might also involve this woman in my life. So that night, that's when I said, okay, God, I'm going to stop running from you in this regard, and I want to commit to Ashley as a person. And that's that night, and I was able to encounter something that just was supernatural in a way that I think I'm just so blessed to have been through. Just being on the receptive side of a healing miracle, I think is so amazing. And I think, you know, day to day, right, there's so many times where we get sick, right, and we still, right, we pray for each other. And it's not instantaneous all the time, right? Sometimes it's all on God's timing, right? That the Lord is moving and does things by His will, right? And Oh, I think through our conversations, through Papa's story, right, with his testimony, dealing with or battling COVID and overcoming that victory through through prayer and through Jesus and his power, right? Yes. And I know there are many stories, right, where or instances, right, where maybe the outcome isn't as I'd want it to be, right, and I think having both experiences, right, is just all the more we need to lean on God and trust God, because it's all on his power that he can show up and do the miraculous.
And that inspires me and encourages me in your faith, Scott, in that you are always leaning on the Lord. You're always, in our interaction, you're wanting to draw near to Christ and draw near to God and put your trust. And I see you doing that in your life. You're listening to Scott Tan, Dr. Scott Tan. He's the data scientist for Gotham Greens. When we come back from our break, you'll hear more from him about how his Christian faith impacted his growth as an engineer, as an artist. In 2019, he was selected as a member of Forbes 30 Under 30 in science. You can find out more about Dr. Scott Tan at drscotttan.com. Again, drscotttan.com. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life.
James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience The Good Life today.
So yeah, in 2019, Dr. Scott Tan was selected as a member of Forbes 30 Under 30. He developed an artificial synapse made of single crystalline materials as part of an effort to develop neuromorphic computers with hardware that mimics the human brain, to build a brain-inspired computer system that could enable better language translators, rescue robots, and more. That's Dr. Scott Tan. You can find out more about him at drscotttan.com. And this program, go to drdanny.live. You can catch this program in its entirety as a podcast. Go ahead and share it with a family member or friend. Scott, in what ways have your faith impacted your growth as an engineer and an artist?
That's a deep question. So my faith, I think, in life, right, every day is, okay, personally, I'm trying to seek after God, right, and in that, part of it is worship. How can I worship you? And a part of it is, you know, how can I be a witness for what you're doing in this world? So as a for the time that I'm here, right, how can I be a contributor, right, to the kingdom purposes, to what you have, and the good life, as the show's title, right, that God provides by his presence, right, by his kingdom. So yeah, that's why I do what I do. Yeah.
Why do you believe God led you to MIT?
So MIT, the decision to come out here was one that I initially was resistant to make because it's somewhere completely new, somewhere I knew the weather would be very different and we would have no connections that we were starting out with. Coming out to make the move, we being me and Ashley Yee, who was my wife Ashley Tan, right when we moved out here. So we got married this summer. We moved out here, and we made the decision together to move to Massachusetts because we just felt God calling us to the Northeast. We really wanted to be in California, where Ashley had she had been living in Northern California. She finished up her degree from Mills College, and she was living there. had a great job and had a promotion lined up that she was really looking forward to pursuing. I was accepted to a school in Northern California as well. So. And that was the top school in my list that I really wanted to go to at the time. long story short, so I also got into MIT. Didn't want to go to MIT, but felt God telling us we needed to come out here. So we made the choice to come out here and start our marriage together while I was in grad school, while Ashley was looking for another job for something for her career to just move from California to a new purpose, new plans that God has for her out here. That was our.
Well, Scott, you would never say it. You're just by nature of your implicit and intuitive humility. Not very many people can say that they got into PhD programs at Stanford and Berkeley and Cambridge and Oxford and Harvard and MIT. And here you are by obedience. You've been here. I remember hearing about Forbes 30 Under 30. Where were you when you heard the news of your selection into that elite group?
I was in my dorm, in the dorm that we were living. While I was in grad school, I lived in an undergraduate dorm as a GRA, as a graduate residence advisor. So I lived with undergraduates, and woke up one morning, saw the news, and saw that's nice.
What was your experience like? What were you able to see and do? What doors were open because of that?
Yeah, I think just looking back at. Since the news came out that I was on this list, I think I get a lot of people who are curious and want to know more questions about my life, and I hope that leads to pointing glory to God and if they haven't heard the good news about Christ, being able to have an opportunity to share that. I think it's just one of those worldly things, right? That is something that I think because of the brand behind it, because of the name, right, it's well recognized, and I'm very thankful for the opportunities that name has the doors that have kind of been opened from conversations, right, from that. But really, it's Jesus standing at the open door, right, who's the one that I'm trying to really seek after every day, right, and invite more and more into my life in different ways.
You're a data scientist for Gotham Greens. What does work as a data scientist entail?
I'm working for a unique company in the sense that we are growing lettuce for local people, but distributed across the nation in many different places. So, as a data scientist for Gotham Greens. For any listeners who aren't familiar with the company, is a smaller organization that is growing, and what we do is we grow lettuce and we grow basil and different vegetables that become retail products in the supermarket or different dressings or different dips or products, right? And we grow the lettuce in these hydroponic greenhouses where the environment is semi-controlled. So we use real sunlight, but we try to keep the plants happy, right? And keep growth to be as productive as possible inside of the greenhouses, so that they can be food on the table for people in America.
I've heard that phrase or the word that you use in the context, keep the plants happy. And of course, you said it with a beaming smile. What does it mean to keep the plants happy?
So that's a great question. Well, so we want to keep the plants happy. We need to maintain production, right, for the products that are coming out for people to eat, right, and make sure that, you know, that's consumable, right, by people, that I'm okay letting my kids eat this lettuce, right, with a salad or with a burger. And I think the other part of the business, right, that I think is intriguing to me and to my role with the company is the whole aspect of the other side of it, right, which is sales, right, and which is, okay, people are trying different types of lettuce, right, people are buying products from different stores, and being able to look at that and see, okay, where are the opportunities for the business to grow and for healthy produce to be consumed more locally to the source. I think one of the biggest drivers or reason why I got into this was just seeing the alarming statistic that most of the leafy greens, most of the produce comes all the way from California out here in the Northeast. And that's slowly getting shifted by efforts like companies like Gotham Greens, right, that are, you know, producing more of the lettuce here, and that way, you know, saving all of that, all the emissions, right, that are associated, all the costs that are associated with transporting a head of lettuce thousands and thousands of miles. So that's something exciting to be working on for me personally, and I've been enjoying working with this company. Yeah.
There's a continuity with what you're doing and what you're able to do and have been gifted to do and trained to do. If somebody listening has a desire, or let's say someone's son or daughter, or someone listening who is that son or daughter, says, I want to know more about being a data scientist, or I want to be a data scientist, what would you say to that person in terms of how to prepare for a career like that?
I would say to the becoming a data scientist for me personally was not something that I woke up one day, I was like, oh, I know, I want to now study numbers and look at how to do time series analysis and forecast out the sales and production for a growing business. That wasn't something that I think I one day woke up and wanted to do. I think for me, my path towards the career was one that was more driven by just, okay, how can I take my love for being able to process big complex ideas and have, you know, these challenging opportunities and tasks, right, and be able to make an impact with the pace of society, so that, you know, we can continue to do better for our world and for our country.
Scott Tan, yes, he's the data scientist for Gotham Greens. He explained just the top of the tip of the very minuscule detail of the surface. If we might even say something like that. But he's also a worship leader at church. When we come back, we'll talk more with Scott about a scientist with a heart of worship, who, as you can hear, continually points to Jesus, who's always thinking about the Lord and pointing to Christ. Unique, blessed, someone who encourages me whenever I'm around him, and I believe is encouraging you as well. Wouldn't you say? Dr. Scott Tan. You can find out more at drscotttan.com. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable things you do not know." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a program that was born out of prayer. The Spirit of Christ guides us through prayer, empowers us through prayer, and provides for us through prayer. There are mighty things that the Lord is doing in the Northeast, across the United States, and around the world. Would you like to be a part of God's work through The Good Life with Dr. Danny? Visit drdanny.live. Dr. Danny invites you to join his prayer team. Each month, you will receive a letter updating you on some of the behind-the-scenes developments, prayer requests, along with a devotional that Dr. Danny writes to encourage you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Join the prayer team today and make an eternal difference in people's lives. Visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
One day in middle school, Scott Tan wandered into a Christian club because they were giving away free pizza. Now, that day, he heard the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, he is a proud servant of Jesus on a mission of the gospel, for the gospel, in Quincy, Massachusetts, and beyond. Dear friend, welcome to the Good Life Radio program. Thanks, Scott, and I are grateful that you're with us today. You can find out more about Scott at drscotttan.com. Scott, you're a data scientist for Gotham Greens. You're also a worship leader at church. In what way does that give you joy?
I think being able to serve God and his family and my family of fellow believers who are also seeking after God is just really such a privilege. I think personally, right, worship is something that is a tool, right, that we can use as people to get really intimate with the Father, right, and use to lift up our voices, right, and our bodies in praise of the one who's going to be praised forever and ever, right? Even the rocks cry out. So I think personally, I think growing up as a Christian, also like a lot of the people who have just had a big influence in my life, right, growing up and people that I see as people walking in faith with God and also worshiping Christ, right, with just just passion and just in intimacy with the Father, right, and just being undignified in expression of love, I think is just encouraging and to see, to witness, right, and also I think as I grow, right, a way that I can continually just point glory to God and worship Jesus who's worthy of it all.
You used a word just now that may have struck a chord in someone as they caught it, which might have sounded like it came in from sideways. You said you used the word undignified in worship. What do you mean by that, undignified? Explain that further.
I can't take credit for this. This is something that my pastor at Life Community Church has really been as we study the book of Revelation, right, seeing that we as believers, right, can be undignified in worship, meaning like we can express the love that God has for us and the love that we have for God without any restraint of thinking about what other people, how other people perceive me. And I think that's something that I as a human, right, struggle with innately, like always thinking, this person's watching me do this and they're having these thoughts, and I can very easily, run off into thoughts in my own head and give myself 1,000 reasons why I shouldn't lift up my hands and worship God. if I feel led to do that, and if the Spirit is leading me to do so, right? Or sing loudly and proclaim His goodness even when I don't feel like it, or even if I'm feeling or if I feel that His presence isn't with me, right? That's when all the more, right, worship can be a way that I can invite Him into the space and place of my life and put Him at the center and take myself off of that pedestal, right, so that He can get all the glory for whatever I'm up to.
I'm thinking of an Old Testament story where King David danced before the Lord, and his wife Michal rebuked him for the undignified way that he was behaving, and he essentially told her, he said, "Hey, I have to do this, and it's not a twisting of the arm, because of how he perceived and what he knew and how he related with Almighty God." And so when you talk about that undignified way in a world where we're all trying to be dignified, that strikes a chord in a raw way. It's almost like a primordial cry for the yearning in our hearts for the Creator, the Almighty. You're a worship leader. You're a data scientist. Scott, what does family mean to you?
Family. Wow. So family for me is God's people, right? God's brothers and sisters. Help to sharpen me. Help to sharpen each other, right? We help to sharpen each other, and even though at some moments we fight, right? Sometimes we don't always get along. And I think I say this just thinking about my closest relationships, right? Things don't always go perfectly, right? But through it all, I think family are, for me, people who choose to stick together with me in this path, right, towards seeking after God, and I think, oh, these days, right, that extends so much further than just our blood, right? Like I can call so many people out here family that, you know, that I'm not related to just because of Christ, because of what He's done, and because we all can call God our Father, right, and we're adopted into His kingdom, and that being our eternal family, this being our eternal family, whether I just just met this person, and you know they've recently come to faith, or whether I've been walking with someone for years and years, and have gone through the dirt and through real challenges and to faith, right.
In view of that, in view of family, in view of the body of Christ, when you think about your wife and your children, what are your hopes for the future?
Oh, I hope that they love Jesus, and that God reveal them, God reveal Himself to them in just amazing ways, that and work through them, right? Work through them for the kingdom, and that they be servants of Christ, that have a relationship with God that surpasses everything that we are in this fleshly, temporary snippet of time. I hope that as their dad, I know that I mess up all the time, and that they'd be less like, I hope that they can be less like me and more like Jesus, more like Christ, more like the perfect God who is the Creator and the sustainer of this universe, who loves us and gave us His Son so that we can experience right relationship with Him.
You've been in places where people have been in rigorous intellectual environments, you being one of them. But they also, your colleagues, have different views of the world than you do. They have different religious perspectives than you do. Some might even be questioning whether religion is even necessary, much less whether or not God exists. How have you related, Scott, with the conviction and clarity that you have in a pluralistic environment where you have been surrounded by others with these perspectives?
Yeah, I think it's continuously seeking after the truth, right? And by the truth, for me, right, I believe what God says in His Word is the truth, the foundation of my walk with Christ is written in those 66 books of the Bible. So being able to read that, and I think also just, you know, in conversations that we have with other people, and you know, there are questions, right? Everyone is seeking after what more is there beyond this life, right? And I think I can recall specifically, like for me personally, there's one moment where you know, I had a very proud atheist professor who was teaching me quantum physics, very eccentric person and very accomplished. But his course, right, taught a lot of great physics, but at the same time, he was also trying to promote, hey, because of this principle, right, there can't exist this principle and also God, right? And as a student, right, I'm sitting in that seat, right, I'm not one to be disagreeing, or am I, right? And I think that the part where the Spirit intervened in this particular situation for me, right, was one day, not in front of this professor, but walking along the field to class one day when with another student, and we had a conversation about this, and it was, you know, I think totally just led by the Spirit, right? And you know, we were talking about, hey, you know, you heard what he said at the pub in our tutorial session the other day, right? Like that because of these principles, there can't be God. And, you know, what do you think about that? And I shared, hey, you know, I think as we perceive this physical reality, right, as we see our world today, right, there are limitations for how we experience our world, right, and I believe personally, right, in a God that supersedes that, right, that goes beyond what is possible, right, and I think the evidence for that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And she also shared that she also had a similar faith, and believed in a bigger God, right, that wasn't constrained to the principles of quantum mechanics. And I think that being able to connect with that with a classmate in that way, for me, had a big impact on my life and my personal faith, and kind of deepened that, because, you know, I was able to be in community with someone that I wasn't even close to, just was a classmate that, you know, I had in this physics class that we barely would have a conversation yet, just by His Spirit, just bringing me through that despite sitting in the seat with an atheist physics professor.
You're listening to Dr. Scott Tan. Scott you can reach him, you can connect with him, you can find out more about him at drscotttan.com. When we come back in our final segment, we often talk about this. It's the reality of the human experience. We have joys, great moments, heightened moments of elation, of smiles and jubilation. And then there's moments when we struggle. And a lot of people go through that. And Scott has a word of encouragement from the Lord, I believe, to share with you. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
On behalf of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, weekdays at 6 p.m. on WEZE, and visiting drdanny.live for more resources. My dear friend, it is because of listeners and donors like you that we are able to spread the message of Jesus' love and bring hope to people like you, your family, and friends. Proverbs 11:25 says, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Will you prayerfully consider donating to Danny Yamashiro Ministries so that we may continue to broadcast the gospel, so believers will be built up and non-believers may form a relationship with Jesus Christ? Visit drdanny.live to make a financial contribution today. That's drdanny.live. And thank you again for supporting The Good Life with Dr. Danny. May God richly bless you with The Good Life.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
News that God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life, suffered unjustly, died, was buried, and then resurrected from the dead, touched Scott Tan deeply, changing his life. After accepting Jesus as his Lord and Savior, Scott Tan was baptized and began seeking Christian community. He does so to this very day, seeking Christian community. You'll hear that in him. You'll feel that when you're with him. Dr. Scott Tan, you can find out more at drscotttan.com. You're listening to the Good Life program. You can find out more about this program at drdanny.live. Scott, what do you believe the Lord would say, or would have you say, to someone who is going through a rough patch right now?
You mentioned David earlier, and he was something I was reading. I've been reading recently some of the Psalms that he wrote when he was getting pursued by his son Absalom and tens of thousands of other men that rose up against him, right? And in the difficult time, right, I think what David modeled for us is that we cry out to God, right, in desperation, right? And I think that cry in desperation is in of itself, right, what can lead us closer to the Father, closer to Christ. And knowing that we are just these really mortal flesh, right? That is perishing, right? But yet we have a Father who is eternal, who loves us beyond that, right? And loves us despite the choices that we've made, despite the difficult circumstances that we're going through, and even when there are thousands and thousands that are pursuing after me, or if it can feel like a situation that is when the barrier can feel too high to overcome, right? We know that Christ has already won that victory, that he's already overcome the barrier, right, by living the perfect life and by offering himself as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And that through Christ we can call out to the Father and say, hey, God, we need you. Even though I'm broken, even though I don't deserve to be called your son, you choose to love me anyway. And I think that really Christ is what can bring us all through these difficult times, right, as we live.
There's a yearning that emerges as you speak when you talk about desperation. I wonder, Scott, there are two sides of desperation. If there's a part of desperation that is so horrible in the expression of the pain, and the flip side of it being, and ever so close, for some it might even be to a degree indecipherable, the desperation of the pain cries out with a deeper and perhaps even the deepest longing for God. Perhaps indescribable in our lowest moment, the most sublime opportunity to draw close to God. Part of worship is prayer. We pray. There's an act of worship even in prayer. Could you pray? Would you pray for someone today who's going through a rough time, their rough patch, as you were describing?
Father God, you're holy and righteous and perfect in all ways, and I am not God, and I'm so broken and such a sinner. But yet you choose to love me, and I thank you for your love, God. And I pray for every person who might be listening to this, God, that your love also touch them, that the good news of Jesus Christ be made clear to their hearts, to their eyes, to their ears, that as they listen to this, God, that they be inspired to seek after God, to seek after the Father. God, we can't see all of your plans and your purposes, but you know all that you have in store for this person who's listening to this right now, God. So I pray that in the name of Jesus, that you bless them, that you fill them with your Spirit, God, to bring hope, to bring peace, to bear good fruit for the kingdom. And I pray for Dr. Danny Yamashiro and this ministry, Father, that you bear fruit and that you bless every single listener. Bless them abundantly through the love of God, through the blood of the slain lamb. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Scott, thank you for praying. You know, we have a growing number of listeners. And I say that by faith as the program continues. And God, in his supernatural way, connects you, our guests, with our listeners in ways that before the broadcast we might not have been able to foresee what the Lord, the Spirit, would do in someone's heart and life. There is a pivotal moment in your life, pivotal moments in my life, where God has revealed himself to us and touched us in unique ways. And I believe that the Lord is using you in that way, and has used us in this together. As we close, is there a scripture that the Lord has been encouraging you by lately?
Yeah, there's one I'm trying to really just memorize, and it's Acts 4, verse 11 to 12, and it's, "This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders which has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given by men by which we must be saved." And this is Acts chapter 4, verse 11 to 12. And oh, it's just so good, right? Like the builders, that's sometimes me, right? Trying to do things on my own accord, right? Trying to build all the time, trying to create things. But yeah, there's Christ, right? Who was rejected by the builders, but has become this cornerstone and is the cornerstone for my life, that I need to be continuously remembering and reminding myself that he's the rock on which we stand, the firm foundation, who's worthy of all the praise, and who we can really trust in everything that we're doing.
Scott, thank you. Thank you for encouraging us. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for sharing from your heart. Worshipful words from Dr. Scott Tan and drscotttan.com. My friend, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you, just as Dr. Tan has. And if you haven't done so, look, I believe this may be the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus. Visit drdanny.live. I've got some resources for you there. And if you'd like to join our prayer team or partner with us financially, again, DrDanny.live, and I thank you in advance. Psalm 105, verse 3, "Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice." It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Dr. Scott Tan, drscotttan.com. Until next time, along with my producer, David Nasora, creative director, Brian Torres, web designer, Shana Kusumoto, and guest coordinator, Jan Yi, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you as you share the love of Jesus with someone today.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of The Good Life with Dr. Danny. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you and that you may find hope in hearing how God's Word affects people from all walks of life. The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a listener-supported program, and we'd like for you to prayerfully consider becoming a sponsor or donor. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live. Be sure to tune in weekdays at 6 p.m. to hear The Good Life with Dr. Danny. Until next time, may God richly bless you with The Good Life.